Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome to the main course. We are going to party like it was $1.99. We are in studio with Liz and Phil, two of my favorite people. Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hello, Liz.
Hello.
Hello. All right, well, this is an exciting time. Keep drinking, guys.
Oh.
This is my 199th show, and now show 200... which we are really honored is going to be with April Bloomfield from the Spotted Pig. That's 200. That looks to the future.
Yes.
That looks to a time, the future, the scary future. What is the future? After a massive federal bailout fails to save them, McDonald's joins the internal combustion engine on the scrap heap of history. That's the future. A strain of genetically modified chickens who grow to be 5 foot tall and are covered in wings like roses on a bush are developed by the newly formed bioengineering department of ExxonMobil, but plans to make them industry standard backfire when one of the chicken escapes and is videotaped terrorizing a shopping mall in Idaho. In the aftermath, horrified Americans begin to reject factory farm chicken, leading Frank Perdue the 17th to exclaim to shareholders, "We just lost Detroit." This is the future. This is the future. This is stuff we do not need to worry about tonight. This is the future. With lower Manhattan now below sea level, Poughkeepsie becomes the new restaurant capital of America.
Awesome.
This is the future.
Sign me up.
Do not worry. Do not worry. Momo Sushi Shack is still open, as is one of the Bubbies.
One of the Bubbies.
One Bubbies actually did shut down because of that.
Do you know we're at a high point right now in Brooklyn?
Oh, good.
No flooding here.
That's why we picked the space.
Mm-hmm.
Organic, this is the future. This is actually a good part of the future. Organic tacos replace chicken wings as the number one food served on Super Bowl Sunday. Grass-fed bison chili nachos come in at number two. Mm. This is a future thing.
Future.
This is my 199th show. 4 years. Thanks. Oh. Thank you for giving the sound effect machine back. It was taken from me because I overused it. Well, 199 is a time really, is a big number. As Phil was mentioning to me earlier, Bermuda ranks 199th in world population.
That is true.
Yeah. Woodstock has a population of 199, as does Blackwater, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And Liz, all those times we spent traveling on US 199, that 80-mile stretch from Crescent City, California to Interstate 5 in Grants Pass, Oregon. The most lovely, lovely stretch of highway. And also, one thing people don't know, 199 is a prime number.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird to be a prime number that deep into the number system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing some math to see if
I'm going to do some math.
Well, this is a time to look to the past, and I'm bringing my very, 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 very favorite people on. So we have Phil and Liz. We're going to talk to Jack Inslee, the executive producer of the network, Aaron Fairbanks, Katie Kiefer, and Mike Edison. Catherine Greeley is going to come on. She runs our mail order. Larry Bokel and Sam Edwards. So it's going to be a really great show, and we're going to start interviewing all these people after the break and asking them their impressions. But, you guys have done an amazing job in the producer booth. I mean, show 199. Joe, that's you, brother.
Thank you.
That's real applause.
Oh, yeah, that's real. That's not fake. That wasn't Joe. You know, we've had Eric Asimov on, Mark Ladner, Michael Pollan, Mario Batali and his whole family, Alice Waters, Florence Fabricant. And then all these shows started, you know, from first having been a guest on this show, like Dave Arnold and Damon Bolte, the great cocktail show, Mike Edison and Katie Kiefer, who will be here for the second part of the show. Temple Grandin was on. Even young Aaron Fairbanks, the executive director. Let's get Aaron on the phone because we should really talk about how.
Let's talk with her.
Yeah, let's talk with E. Fairbanks. She did not come in because her roommate, her pain in the ass roommate, decided to move out. So she has like 12 interviews right now. But, you know, Shauna Pacifico was a co-host for a while. It's just been an unbelievable run. And we built these two shipping containers in the winter of 2008 and 2009. And the whole team, Phil, you were here then with your Pan Am shirt.
Yeah.
That I'll always remember.
Do you still have it?
Yes, of course I still have it.
It was a prototype.
It's my pregnant shirt. When Anne is pregnant, I wear that shirt. So
we had a special guest on the line, Patrick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who is it? Who's there?
Give a test. How do we know it's you? Give us a test of who you are.
I am a voice from your past. You would know me from the corner of Myrtle and Flatbush Avenue and the back of U-Haul vans.
I remember you from such emails as, how do I get there? Which one is LaGuardia?
And I will always think fondly of my 67.5-pound box carrying limit.
Listen, I mean, you were stronger than me. It's appropriate that you were the one asked to carry those heavy boxes. Well, listen, Aaron, you are the executive director of the Heritage Radio Network. You are also one of the founders of Heritage Foods USA, which moves 60,000 pounds of heritage endangered livestock on behalf of small family farms to restaurants. You know, you're a real special person, one of my favorite people that I've ever met. So tell me your top impressions of the radio, either being on the main course or, you know, just in general about radio. I mean, this has become your life's work now, is bringing food justice to the airwaves. So just speak to that a little bit.
Well, I have to say, like, throughout my life, I feel like whenever I've been faced with, like, a big kind of knotty problem that I didn't know the answer to, I always felt like if you can get yourself in a room with really interesting people who are passionate and authentic and doing amazing work, that you'd be able to figure things out. And I think that radio is really, you know, has been, is more and more becoming that space. I mean, you know, as Mary Nessel said when she came on for her evolutionary series, like, these are, you know, big problems that we're facing in the food system, and they're going to require a lot of work across a lot of different sectors and a lot of great people and great thinking. And I think a lot of that's happening at the radio, and it's super exciting to see it just kind of growing and becoming more and more diverse and powerful. And, I mean, come on, 199 shows, like, I think it speaks for itself almost.
Well, yeah, that's us. But, you know, you have done, really, you've blown the roof off of the whole thing. I mean, people understood what we were doing and, you know, these amazing 30 hosts, of which you were one, you know, one of the ones that came on this show first. And, I mean, what you've done is unbelievable. I mean, you cannot deny what Heritage Radio Network is now, thanks to you and your team, of course. But, I mean, it cannot be denied. It's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time. I mean, you know, we just this fall launched, you know, as you know, all the kind of daily news coverage, which has been a really exciting and dynamic space, and I'm really excited to foster that and see it grow and, like, really create a space where people can come every day to kind of get real talk on food issues, kind of spanning the scene from
what's the best story you've done?
Climate change to pleasure.
Climate change to pleasure. What's the most important story you've done to date? And then I want to look to the future, even though this isn't really a future show. This is a past show, looking to the past. What's the most important show you've done, and what's the most important news piece you will do?
Wow, the most important show that we've done.
I mean, you know, news piece. I know all the shows. There are 30 fantastic hosts, but you are now trying to break down the walls of the way Americans understand and view food.
I think, you know, rather than, I don't even know that I would point to a single show. I mean, I think it's like everything, you know, it's in our name, network. It's like the sum of the parts. I think that's the problem, is like wanting to look to kind of one solution or one thing as the space to lead us forward. And I think what we do differently and what's most important about what we do is we're not kind of pointing to one thing. We're not putting food in the lifestyle section or the, you know, culture section. We're like, it's more than that, and I wouldn't point to one show, because I think that's like not, that's just like not our ethos. Our ethos is food is everything and everywhere, and all needs to be covered and explored, and I mean that's really what.
All right.
I wouldn't
thanks for saying that I'm part of the problem. I mean, that's basically what I'm gaining out of this. Thanks, Aaron. So, as usual, once you go over 4 to 5 minutes with Aaron, things start to deteriorate. No, just kidding. Well, listen.
That's why we cut our stories off at 3 minutes.
Well, good luck finding a roommate. I have tremendous, tremendous respect for you, and I couldn't do a radio show without having you be the first person I talk to. The next person is going to be Jack Inslee, who was here from day, you know, 10. He wasn't here from day one, but he was the second he came on, he was here forever. So we're going to talk to Jack. Well, thanks, Aaron, and I
awesome.
Hope you find
thanks for including me.
A non-show.
Hi, Aaron. I love you.
Oh, that was
bye.
Phil.
I would just like to point out that I've always wanted to move in with Aaron, but that's a different
yeah,
story.
Yeah, Aaron, oh. Do you need a roommate?
Come on over to the bedside,
me,
guys.
Me and Liz are going to fight after. We're going to fight over you. Aaron's mine. Mike, I love you, Aaron. It's Philip. Bye.
Mike would like you to move in with him.
Ooh.
So then you would
never. I don't know if I'm ready for all that.
Oh. No, that would be awesome.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Exactly.
I live in what you all call the city.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cut him off. Cut him off. Edit
said,
that
where
out.
You live is so hot, how come you call where I live the city?
Because Patrick was just saying it's not even going to be a city in a year, that it's going to be underwater.
Poughkeepsie. Well, Mike helped me write that line.
It's an aquarium.
Yeah.
With rising water levels, Poughkeepsie is about to become the restaurant capital of America.
I hope you're a merman.
So now we're going to talk to Jack Inslee, and then we're going to open up the show again. But, Joe, by the way, I want you to know, of all of the people that have ever worked in that booth, you are in the top 90 percentile for me. And I really
oh, thank
that.
You.
Yes.
It means a lot.
I like that. Wow, you're really pulling out all the stops. Your music is my favorite music, though, 100%. I don't want any other music to ever play during my shows other than yours.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that my voice can soothe you in such a way.
You were like, well, it's not soothing.
It's very unsoothing.
Yes, it's very unsoothing, actually. But so let's see. Is Jack awake?
Let's see what Jack says.
Jack can't be bothered to come down to the studio.
2, 1, 2, 7. 2, 9, 4, 3, 9.
We'll get Jack on in a minute. That happens to be his voicemail. So,
well, I am so excited to be in studio. We just were joined by Michael Edison. What's your middle name? No middle name.
No.
Well, you. It's very nice to see you.
Only serial killers have middle names, right?
Yeah.
You were the unofficial godfather of Max because we basically wrote a book together, The Carnivore's Manifesto, and Max knew you more than he... At first, there were times he thought you were the father.
I wrote that book to get closer to Max. It's no secret. He's by far your greatest attribute.
Well, are you the Lenny Bruce of our times, Mike?
I wouldn't say that.
Why not?
Oh, my God.
Heroin?
Yeah, well, I'm not a junkie. There's that. I mean, you humble me, Patrick. I don't know what to say when you say things like that.
Well, no. I mean, you know, you call it like it is.
You know.
You make political commentary.
I've got some game.
You've been
I play in the big leagues.
Yeah.
You know?
You can go stand up in front of 500 people and just riff for hours.
If you could find 500 people, I'd be glad to.
Well, I have Phil here because, Phil, you are my favorite... I mean, I say host. That's not radio host. That's just a person who makes other people feel welcome.
Sure.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you are champagne everywhere. I mean, you bubble and you make people feel good about themselves. I mean, that's an art form.
Well, like you said, I'm humbled that you would say that.
No.
You bubble.
I bubble.
I love going to Phil's restaurants because, you know, he will be like, oh, give me, can you give that guy a bite of your food, you know, and they try it, and you really feel like you're in someone's house, and you feel like, you know, I almost think of these great hosts in New York City history. Who are they? I mean, I've heard Elaine. I've never met her, but Elaine, she was a famous host. I mean.
Well, right. People didn't go to the restaurant for the food, to Elaine's.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And then the guy from Le Cirque.
Cirio.
I mean, you know, these are very few people in a generation.
I don't talk about it, but Cirio is... I don't ever talk about it, but I will on your 199th. Like, he's up here for my idols. You know, one of the things that he said is... people said that, you know, when you walked in Le Cirque, Cirio would come up to you, and you knew that he had no idea who you were, but he still made you feel like the most important person in the world. And that's kind of like what I... feel that I owe people that come to my restaurant.
You know? And but not even. I mean, when I bump
but in a natural, but not a forced, but not in a forced way. He did it in a natural way, and I tried. I don't even try to emulate it. I just kind of try to emulate it.
Well, no, I mean, you do that. I mean, well, we were just joined by my former co-host, Katie Kiefer.
I love Katie Kiefer.
The smartest person on the Heritage Radio Network.
It's great to see you. It's great to look at you.
Oh, thanks.
Aww. No, it's great to look at Mike. What's up,
KK? Well, Liz has been kissed by God. Liz is an angel.
Ooh.
She is like a beautiful person, but you know, you can never judge a book by its cover because you see this delicate, beautiful, you know, 110-pound person, and she breaks down whole steers. Well, Mike,
that was a great day we had, right?
Yes.
Busting up those hawks.
Explain what she does. I mean, you're
an artist. I mean, you draw some very nice lines. You're very good with that knife. Yeah, I'd hate to be on the wrong side of that knife.
Well, that's the thing. Thank you. Most people are not on the wrong side. I mean, you're very generous to people. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. whether they're the dishwasher from Puebla or mm-hmm. the owner of the company. You kind of mother and nurture people in a way that's very hard to come by.
Yes.
I mean, is that true?
Yes, that is true. I am the mom. Never want to have kids, but I realize in my profession, I am the mother of, you know, where I work, and it's an honor, and it's a real important role, and I'm just really happy and grateful to have the people that work under me. It's and work for. I mean, Ron Silver is really awesome. He's all about a mission about American food and how, you know, it's under attack, and we really. Collectively, seriously, you know, are heartfelt and like this idea of like it's a mission and how to defend the American table. And I'm mm-hmm. just really blessed of where I am right now.
How many people are you responsible for? I mean, I know you're the one breaking down these mm-hmm. whole cows, whole pigs each and every week, but I mean, what do you have between the two bubbies?
I mean, it's probably like about a good 50 to 60 people right now.
Wow.
And, you know, like, I'll butcher a little bit and then move over and do this and I do that. I mean, I'm washing dishes, like, doing salads, just expediting. I'm all over the place. And that's the excitement for me. It's a natural high and just watching everybody just getting better and better and how this business is growing.
Now, how do you keep together? I mean, because you're overwhelmed a lot. You mm-hmm. just opened a new restaurant in the Meatpacking District. And, I mean, how do you not become negative and overwhelmed and like a negative presence in your workspace?
Well, as my mother told me, you get more honey with bees and then vinegar. So, I was completely raging. I mean, when I'm stressed out, I'm just definitely crazy. But I think for the past 2 months that I'm just riding this wave of just being positive, and I'm just getting a lot better results of just because I know how important what I'm doing right now is bigger than this restaurant and everything. I mean, with this network and food. It is something bigger than me, and I'm just a little part of it, and I'm just gracious and just
You are gracious.
It. Yeah, so.
No, you're very, very, you're a very good person. And, you know, sitting to your right, my left, is Katie, who, you know, I like it. You are still, like, Katie could be basically a 23-year-old just out of college doing her
idealistic hippie.
Yeah,
can change the world.
Yeah, she still does, and you do change the world. I mean, there's very few people like you who would choose to come in on Sundays and educate and be so interested to deal with people and learn. I mean, you're one of a kind.
Oh, well, thank you, Patrick. I am still endlessly curious about the world I live in. I can't help it, and I love the food world. So
you're the host, of course, of What Doesn't Kill You, which used to be called
Straight No Chaser.
Right.
Yes, I've gone through a few incarnations. Yeah, but once I couldn't use Thelonious Monk anymore as my theme music, it was like, why do I have that title? It doesn't mean anything.
I like the little child drinking on your old logo.
Yes, I loved that. She was great.
So, what's your mission? What drives you? I mean, you come in here every day. You're calling all these people. You're like, I got a great interview with this slaughterhouse owner in Colorado. I got Temple Grandin on.
Why am I always enthusiastic? I don't know.
But what are you gunning for? What drives you?
What am I gunning for? I'm gunning for a better food system. I'm gunning for something that is in between the two extremes, what we have and what the more idealistic amongst the food community would like to see. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that we will ever feed the world with urban agriculture, you know, one city block garden at a time. That ain't going to happen. Mike,
it's a nice idea.
It's a great idea, and I think it's great for people to pursue that, but it's not a real solution.
Monsanto could do it so much better.
Right?
They could.
And well, let's hope that somewhere between, say, the Brooklyn Grange and Monsanto, there was a very reasonable solution.
Yes, that's exactly. Episode 200.
Yeah, right, and that's where I'm going. And actually, the woman I'm interviewing today just wrote a very interesting history of meat, which is probably going to make a lot of people really mad because she makes the point. She makes the case for, you know, industrial farming in a big way. And she also makes a very interesting point, which is that it didn't come about because this is what really blew my mind in this book. Industrial farming, industrialized livestock agriculture did not come about because Cargill decided that it wanted to grow 9 billion chickens a year, right? Mm-hmm. It came about because of a labor shortage during and after World War II. Huh. And it was the best way for farmers to capitalize on less hands on the farm. It was to create confinement cages. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the genesis of what we all rail against is so bad came from. It came from the family farm. It wasn't like some big corporation.
Get your ducks in order.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, so it's like, you know, to get mad about this stuff, like we all feel entitled to get cheap food and we don't want to pay farmers what it costs to raise it. And so until we get our priorities aligned, we're never going to see a change in the food system. And that's what drives me, is changing those priorities.
So why not go to NBC and, you know, work with Matt Lauer and, you know, tape some tears onto
God,
his...
why not?
No, but I mean...
I don't know why Matt hasn't been calling me. Mike, do you have an explanation for that?
No idea. My phone's not ringing either. NPR isn't calling up to, like, co-op the Arts and Seizures show.
Would call you, Mike. I mean, in the news thing. No, because not news.
Well,
I mean,
we do a culture, arts and culture show, of course, which is...
called the Arts and Seizures section, which used to be called the Mike and Judy show.
That's right. We'll see you guys today at 2 o'clock. We have a couple of, you know, rock and roll writers, drug addicts, pornographers. Yeah, it's... You know, but Pat and Katie will be on talking about some farm bill or the nuances of American agriculture, and we'll be talking about, like, you know, when's the last time you smoked angel dust?
But why are you, I mean, that's
5 minutes ago.
I'll have you know it was the Roxy in 1987, okay?
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, Patrick, I'm sorry. I think we have somebody else on the line. Who's there?
Give us a hint.
I've never smoked angel dust.
You're fired.
It cannot be Jack Inslee or Aaron Fairbanks or anyone who's working. No, wait, it is Jack.
Producer to the stars, Jack Inslee.
Jack Inslee.
I'm sorry, I've never smoked angel dust on the main course.
So, Jack, that's fantastic. Thank you for qualifying that. Because, I mean, to lie on my 199th show would have been really... So, Jack, tell us about... I want to have two questions for you. One about your most memorable experience or experiences... on the radio, and also talking about surviving. I mean, you have gone through so many iterations and put on so many hats and done well with every hat. You know, just talk about your best memories and, you know, change and how to deal with it.
Well, best memories, Wendell Berry was pretty powerful, having him in the studio, and that's a guy I hadn't read and didn't know too much about, but just his presence was pretty overwhelming, I thought, in the studio. So that definitely stands out as one of my best memories. And change, I mean, Oi, you know, we've been through a lot, huh? I remember the days of Eat to the Beat. And
oh, man. And then when we would get, when I would be, like, stoned in my apartment and yelling because I had some bad weed and be like, Jack, what the hell? The radio station is falling apart. But it always kept on going. What was it? Did it have a weak moment? I mean, was there ever a point in the history of the radio where you were just like, I don't know, where is this going? What's going
to
happen?
I like to think of it as there was pre-Mike Edison and post-Mike Edison.
That's a good answer. So,
no, it really was a clubhouse for years, and then, you know, some of the changes we had made, and then Erin coming on and just spearheading this whole thing. It's a real organization she's running now, and I'm just thrilled to be still making content. And, you know, I couldn't be prouder of the stuff we're doing in that office, the editing and the post-produced news coverage. I think it's really powerful and only getting better.
You were basically just, you know, tagging, and you, first you were just like one of the producers, you know, with those kids. You were like part of a group of kids that were doing it, but then, you know, you kept sticking around, and then, you know, you became the executive producer of the station. But now, you know, when Erin came on board, you really transitioned to becoming the main writer, basically, and producer and voice person for this new news division, and also working with the team of young writers and bringing their stories out to make important food news. So, I mean, give us the state of the station now that you're doing this new basic CNN of food.
Well, I just want to add to the whole the transitions thing. It's like working at Heritage Radio is like getting a free master's degree in food studies and now journalism, and we've just been thrown into this. And we're kind of going, we're making it up as we go, but we're putting out such good content. And we've got a team, an incredible team of kids that come in and write these stories and do the research. And then they come to us with a proposal, and we'll make a few tiny changes. And then it's just our job to make it sound good and play well. And it's just, it's a real team now. It's a real team effort in that office. And that's the most exciting thing.
You sure you don't want to thank Jesus after that speech, Jack?
Jesus. No, Jack is very good. He's very well spoken. And then, but your most important show, other than my main course, 199, is definitely Dave Arnold. And I love getting all the info emails where it's like, Dear Dave and Jack and Nastasia, you know?
I have not answered one question on that show yet.
But tell us about Dave's show and the importance of that show to the network.
Dave's show is the single best free resource for anybody that loves food, I think, in the world. I mean, you're talking about people pay to go see Dave speak, and on his show you can call him for free, ask any question, and he won't just answer it. He'll do extra research, and he'll come back the next week and follow up with you. I mean, the service he's doing for people is just unbelievable, and it's been 3 years now of Dave Arnold on Heritage Radio, so I hope it's another 3 years and another three after that.
Yeah, hopefully for all of us. Well, listen, Jack, you've maintained a great job. You've always, just when people, when I thought you were, like, down and out of ideas, you would come back and revive and bring the station to a whole new level and rebirth. I mean, the people always said the same stuff about me with Slow Food. And then Heritage Foods, and then the Heritage Radio Network. So quick to judge, and yet, you know, time is a great ally in legitimacy, you know, and you're doing a fantastic job. So hopefully for many more years.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. It's all thanks to you, and I can't wait for 200 next year. I can't wait for 200.
I am doing 200. 200 episodes is next week, Jack.
That is big. I know. I can't wait.
Okay, good. It'll be April Bloomfield. She'll do most of it.
It's going to be Apocalypse, Jack. Yeah. It's going to be the new version of Apocalypse.
Listen, in the year 200, I mean, by the 200 show, this is what I predict. I'm checking my crystal ball. A super intelligent cow. A mutation caused by excessive antibiotics and hormones has successfully sued conglomerate ag giant Cargill Tyson in a class action suit for abuse and willful negligence, and as a condition of the settlement has become the first bovine board member of a publicly traded company.
Momo Sushi Shack, the first restaurant on Mars.
Phil's only there on Thursdays.
Yes.
Well, apparently there's going to be a Chinese restaurant on the moon.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
You don't read the paper?
No, I don't read the paper.
The Chinese, the government, the country kind of has soft landed a robot on Mars.
Yeah.
I bet the menu will look the same. When I went to Italy, the menu was the same.
Yeah. There's a Chinese robot on the moon. Dude, the space wars could break out like any second now.
What are they doing? It's all for the food. But I want to know if the Chinese food. I always hear they
have gravity dim sum, dude.
One central kitchen. How are they going to participate in that? I mean, the bicycle delivery service is very fast here in New York. I can't say the same for Mars.
Hoverboard.
Hoverboard.
Jetpack on the moon.
Yeah.
Well,
my jetpack.
I would love Joe, could you do us a huge favor and get Catherine Greely on while we kind of discuss amongst ourselves?
Like what a poo-poo platter would be like if there were no gravity?
That's what our first question. Ask her that first question when she finds...
Because I think about this all the time.
No, that is a very good question. It's a question that can actually be applied to all cuisines.
Not introducing...
Can we work together to bring back the poo-poo platter? Because I got some ideas.
Let's write a book called Hot and Sour Moon.
You know, it's been years since I've written any gay erotica, so definitely let's do it.
Hey, Mike, are you performing anywhere soon? I mean, or have you performed recently with
No gigs coming up. I haven't, but don't forget that this Monday night, Patrick, is going to be the Heritage Radio Network Holiday Riot Volume 2 for Christmas, XXXmas, Monday night at 8 o'clock, going live right here from the clubhouse.
What is that? Tell us.
It's going to be a crazy party. It's going to be a cavalcade of stars with my co-hostess with Moses, Judy McGuire, of course.
But you do this. This isn't your first one. Procedure.
No, we turned in a pretty crazy holiday ride for Thanks Hanukkah. The double mitzvah of turkeys and potato latkes.
And before that, you, if I recall, did an election special.
And we did. Well, you know, Patrick, your vision, such as it is, to build this radio station, it's like we have this clubhouse and we know how to use it.
I mean, you know how to use it in a way that only Lenny Bruce might have. But Lenny got crazy at the end.
Well, you know, but I'm always flattered when you say things like, there's time. I'm a young man. There's plenty of time for me to implode.
But tell me, what is your goal with that? You bring various groups. You bring in as many as 20 people into a room together, and you just keep it going for an hour or two.
It looked like the L train on a Friday night in this room. but Erin called and said she wants to crack the whip a little harder. She's going to help us produce Monday night. I cannot wait. But you know, we've got music, and we're going to be talking about some family nightmares. Judy McGuire is going to call her therapist and ask her some key questions so we can all learn how to deal with...
She's like, her first one should be like, why am I calling you right now?
Well, you know, we've all got relatives who want to talk about that Kenyan socialist Obama, and, you know, just sort of like, you know, rather than just seething and over-drinking, there's probably a better way to deal with it.
Yeah. And I know a guy that can get some angel dust if...
Seriously?
Hello.
Like designer angel dust? Because I wouldn't be surprised if someone here, you know, in Bushwick was actually making a designer. No, but hipster angel dust.
It's the only thing my grandfather left to me in his will. I've been saving
a bunch
it.
Of angel dust. Yeah. It's very old now. You'll get a really weird eye. But careful. That's good that you told Mike. He gets very upset if you don't announce to him the drug that he's taking.
Well, yeah.
I have Catherine on the line.
Oh, Catherine.
I'm sorry to interrupt this wonderful conversation about PCP, but here's Catherine.
Yeah, here's Catherine, who's on PCP from last night. Now, you, Catherine, are the director of the mail order division of Heritage Foods USA, and your husband organize a annual 12 cocktails of Christmas event every single year. How are you? Are we really talking to Catherine? How did it go? What were the 12 drinks? Tell us.
Hi there. I am doing well. We did have a 12 drinks of Christmas party last night. It was great. We, try to make the drinks the very authentic way. So I was whipping a dozen egg whites and a dozen egg yolks separately for wassail last night. And And we had hot toddies and glog and 9 other delicious concoctions.
So it's funny, Catherine, because, if you say Catherine Greely, it will one day be a nationally recognized name. But right now, if you say Catherine Greely, a lot of people, are like, well, who is that? And yet, no, I'm serious. I mean, Catherine Greely is a young food person, and yet there are literally tens of thousands of the most important meals of people's lives. I'm talking about Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, graduations, funeral dinners. I mean, all A to Z. And you were completely into
funeral dinners?
Funeral dinners.
What's that?
A lot of people die and they don't want you to suffer.
Yeah, really.
A lot of people die.
A lot of people die every day.
It's a lot of casseroles.
And yet, so in a weird way, you are the literal artery of America's most important meals. You're pumping all this blood. Like, I mean, is that something you understand? And like, I mean, that's a huge responsibility. I mean, getting people there Thanksgiving turkey.
In that mantle of
Catherine,
greatness.
You are America.
No. I mean, that's a big responsibility. Do you feel that pressure? And, I mean, you're doing such a great job with it. I mean,
ask him for a raise right now. Because whatever he's paying you, it ain't enough.
Or time off.
Yeah. Oh, no, listen. Whatever Catherine, she dictates her pay. She's like, this year I want X. And I'm like, done. There's no, she does not have to haggle. She just states what she wants and she gets it. So tell us, I mean, basically, tell us what your job description is, just so our listeners can understand.
Well, we, you know, we have the website, of course, heritagefoodusa.com, where we, you know, list all of the, we sell pork and beef, and, I mean, everybody, you've told everybody about all of the products we sell throughout the different shows, and we basically try to communicate all of these products and educate people a bit about them and you know, ship packages to homes across the country so people can try some of the, you know, very rare heritage breeds in their own home. And we have the warehouse where we actually are shipping all of these packages. So this time of year, we have, you know, hundreds of packages going out every day. And we definitely realize how much... you know, each package means customers are sending gifts with special gift notes and calling in and telling us how, you know, what a special meal they're going to have with this roast or, you know, the turkeys that we sent out for Thanksgiving. We've gotten many calls about how it's been, it created such an amazing Thanksgiving for them and their family. So it's really fun to kind of be a part of everybody's, you know, these very special meals in people's lives.
Now, why shouldn't they just go? Shouldn't they just go to their local butcher or supermarket and just buy the meats there? I mean, why is FedEx meats across the country?
It's a good question, and one we do get sometimes from customers, but these are, you know, heritage breeds of pork and beef and goat and lamb, breeds that you can't get, you know, at local butchers, or they're from this small group of family farmers who've raised them with the pure genetics, and the flavors and the quality of the meat is just, you know, completely different than anything that local butchers are able to source, and especially grocery stores are able to store.
Patrick, I'm willing to bet you knew the answer to this.
I did know the answer to this. But now, tell us, there's one thing Heritage Foods does not sell, which is chocolate. So tell us about your husband's chocolate company, Nate's Chocolate Company, and how people can go online and buy chocolates. Because, I mean, you know, everything else you should get from us, but there's one, you know, dessert you should not get from us. Dessert you should get from Nate. So tell us briefly about that company, and then we'll let you go. Thank you so much for calling us. I do have a question about the Berkshire chops, though, because I feel guilty calling you on Sundays, so I want to ask you about that.
Okay.
Can I give the Heritage Meat Shop a Holthaus Berkshire?
Yes.
Holthaus Berkshire qualifies. I can bring those, right?
Holthaus Berkshire. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Good. So now tell us about Rocca chocolates.
So Rocca is a... raw chocolate company here in Brooklyn. They make bean to bar chocolate, and they, you know, they're a small batch company, so they are sourcing beans from small farms or co-ops in different parts of the world, and they grind them down. And what's interesting, it's similar to our heritage breeds in a way, because it's all about the flavors of those beans, and, you know, the way that they're grown and fermented and whatnot, that is slightly different from bar to bar. And, you know, so it's those slight nuances and interesting little flavors that kind of are what Nate, my husband, and his team are kind of working towards with their chocolate.
Very, very good. And do they have a website?
Oh, they sure do. RakaChocolate.com is R-A-A-K-A.
R-A-A-K-A.
And they have, yeah, they have some great gift packages and actually a subscription program where Nate's making some different specialty chocolates just for those subscriber.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Catherine, you are a godsend to me, the employees at Heritage, and all the farmers. Thank you so much for all that you do. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you will suffer some type of injury that forces you to stay at Heritage forever. No, just kidding. I don't wish that last first part. But you are really fantastic. And thank you for everything. And thanks for calling in. So I will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's good to talk to all you guys.
For the record, I was right. Nexternal was down. Our web server was hacked.
Yes.
All the servers, and so orders took like 10 minutes. It wasn't just us. It was hundreds of companies around the country. But these hackers, you know, end up having a huge negative effect on businesses that really depend on this. It goes everything against what they must stand for when they hurt companies like
us.
But for the record, my Saturday call was not unfounded. I was absolutely right. All right. Well, we are going to take a brief break and then close out. We also have our two national guests, Larry Bokel and Sam Edwards, who have probably been on the main course more than anybody else. So stay with us, and we will come back for the last segment.
You are listening to Desperate Man by Brothers NYC on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Knock you down, hit you straight on your knees.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese, made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow, with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And point of origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Oh, Bobby Keys, Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Guitarist from the Rolling... Oh, no, bassist. Oh, no, saxophonist, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. A little song called Brown Sugar he kind of made famous.
Oh, yeah, I think so. He wasn't dressed to the nines when he came here. That's one thing I remember about him.
He's drunk from Texas.
So, now, Katie, how many shows did we co-host together?
Bobby Holly's band.
I don't know. That would have been at least 100.
There was a time when I was doing drugs before every show and the shows were terrible. And then Katie came over and she brought legitimacy.
No, well, I mean, for a while I followed
your lead. Hey, Mike, we're on.
For a while I followed your lead, Patrick, but then it dawned on me that it wasn't the best radio I'd ever heard.
Yeah, drinking and drugs.
I think Mike Edison was a part of one of those early shows where mayhem essentially broke loose in the studio and we had like a wrestling match right here on the floor of the clubhouse and then somebody else wrestling outside in the back garden here.
Good times.
It was not great radio, unfortunately.
Hey, we have Larry is on.
Yeah, that was when it was a clubhouse, you know, mentality.
Well, you and I would meet for 10 minutes before the show and map out a few questions and then, like, see what happened.
And you just pull a blue glass.
But there was always a spine of legitimacy throughout. And now that we take the radio very seriously because we have millions of listeners now and we would be remiss not to put our best effort in.
Yeah.
But one of the great spines was the fact that we would cover stories about food that no one else did. And more than anybody else, Larry Bokel, who is one of the principals at Cannonball Express, would teach us about, Mike, you're going to love this, Smokey and the Bandit and truckers and how things move.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been on probably, along with Sam Edwards, more than anybody else. So, Larry, welcome to show 199.
Good afternoon, Patrick. Congratulations on the milestone.
Thank you so much. Did you ever think that this would become, when I would first ask you those first stupid questions on episode 4 and 9 and 60 and 100, did you ever think that it would become a legitimate news source for all things food?
Well, I'm not surprised because from the beginning you have this urge to learn, and I also learned as we have gone. I think you and I and your listening public have learned a lot about the situation of trucking from day one. So I think from an aspect, so much to know that you don't have any clue about what goes on, it seems to be interesting not only to me, to you, but hopefully your listeners.
No, I know it's been interesting to the listeners because we get emails about it all the time. But tell me about what is, I know I did not help you with the questions this time and tell you what we're going to talk about, but what are one of the or two of the things that you would hope that the listeners have learned or come to appreciate about trucking based off of your numerous interviews on the main course?
One of the most important things I'd like to just mention that I like to pass along is, not only is it trucking anymore, but when you're dealing with food and food safety, the legitimacy of providing the service to get the product to the end user within a remarkably fast amount of time makes the product to the end user more fresh and more shelf stable. And you're not just carrying the freight, you're taking care, monitoring, and caring for the foods that you and I and everyone eats around the country. So speed and accuracy and protection responsibility is a big part of the trucking, not just hauling the freight. It's not simply the transportation end of it.
No, it's true. And Mike, talk to Larry about some of the old famous ballads of Dudley and Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, when we were writing our book, of course, we're talking about Dave Dudley and 6 Days on the Road. But I got to say, Patrick, when we were doing the chapter on truck drivers, Truckers Shall Inherit the Earth, I liked it when you point out especially that name one thing in your house that didn't come off of a truck.
Well, that's a line I got from Larry. Asked me that question. Yeah. Name one thing. Sorry, Larry, go.
Pretty much there isn't anything, because a lot of things that come off the trains or off the vessels and the ships all come to trucks to be distributed around the country. So even though we may be one of two or three distribution arms, it seems like trucking is always involved in everything.
It is very – and I will say we have worked – we ship about 20, 25 pallets a week. And in 10 years, Cannonball Express has never made one mistake. That's 52 weeks times 10 years, and we're a less-than-load company, so it's not like we get our own fancy driver. We are shipping our stuff like with a bunch of other people, and they have never made a mistake. And, it almost brings tears to your eyes because of how important a mistake would be to a company, even if so much as two or three pallets were like, hey, well, that's your problem. That's not ours. And in 10 years, imagine that we could have gone under with a single pallet going for a few years. So, not to be taken lightly, the importance of the trucker. Mike,
I appreciate that. We have made mistakes, Patrick, but we're so large and we're so customer service oriented. We take advantage of the situation and correct it before it becomes an issue for the customer. And that's what we take pride in, because really the only thing we have to sell is service.
And you do a great job. Well, listen, if Cocoon ever becomes a reality, I'm hightailing it to Omaha so that you'd never retire, Larry, that you just keep on going.
Well, thank you. You're welcome here anytime, Patrick. I know you have visited us here, and certainly appreciate your attention.
Oh, no, and we appreciate everything you do for us, and I know they don't get to talk to you, but every single farmer and every single breed and animal and all those things that we represent, is on your back and on your wheels. So thank you, and thanks for being on so many times, and you know, yeah, Larry Bokel, the trucker. Respect yes, your trucker.
Absolutely righteous. No, I love that, Patrick, that you're, you know, that's a part of the food chain that people don't often think about. And truckers are unsung heroes of America. There's no question about it. They keep America moving.
Well, while we thanks to Larry Bokel, and
yeah, that's right, Phil. It's a big fucking reach around in here.
Get while we get while we get Sam Edwards,
love fest.
Yeah, look at her. Love her.
We're getting Sam Edwards on the phone, but we do look to the future now. Of course, show 199 was about looking at the past, and all these great things happened in 199. Joe, anything happened in 199? We've been partying like it was 199. But as we do look for a second towards the future, Sari, you have become our top writer. You've churned out the most stories. At first, you were like one less level below algae on the bottom of the pool. But you have risen. You have grown into a tree.
I don't know if everyone shared that opinion.
Well, like Jesse Ventura used to say, the scum also rises.
The scum also rises. So, Sari Kamen, you are part of the writing team.
I am.
And you've written dozens of stories for the
Hundreds,
Heritage Radio.
Actually.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Tell us, what is your goal? What drives you? What are you ultimately driven to do by writing all of these kind of, you know, penetrating stories about food, slaughterhouses, all that? What drives you? What's your goal?
I mean, I think something you kind of mentioned before, like getting the food stories before other people have them, because we're the only radio station that focuses exclusively on food issues. So it's very important to me that we're the best, I mean, as a radio station, but we're doing the food stories better than anyone else can, because that's what our focus is. And there's constantly news, and it's constantly happening in real time. So I want to make sure that it's written about and thought about and, you know, just produced in the best way possible.
Well, you deserve some champagne. Are you over 21?
I am quite over 21.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, and our last guest is Sam Edwards.
Yes, I have the famous Sam Edwards right here with us on the program.
Sam.
Hey, Patrick, Sam. Congratulations. Hey, Katie, how are you?
Oh, man, I miss you.
I miss you, too.
I know. We got to have a little chat. I miss those little chats we used to have every month. That was fun.
Yeah, congratulations, Patrick. 199.
199, yes. Are you talking about children, or are you talking about shows? No, but... congratulations
to you and Katie.
Food Radio.
Well, Sam, you are... Let me ask, I mean, this is my question to you, and we only have 4 minutes, 5 minutes to go before Katie's show starts, but, you know, you spend way more money than you need to make hams by supporting our network of farmers, and then on top of that, you also heard about the Heritage Radio Network and became literally the first sponsor of it and said, yes, I want to give a few thousand dollars to this organization. Why is it? Tell us about the strategy of yours to give in order to get, to invest, to see all the tide rise. I mean, it's an unusual characteristic, and it's been monumental to us and me and my work. So just talk about that. I mean, what benefit do you get?
Yeah, well, because Patrick Martins is extremely persuasive.
Because I keep calling.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, seriously, though, you made the point. It made sense. It made sense to the direction of our company. So, you know, we've been an avid supporter and have loved to see the growth that you guys have experienced over the last however many years it's been. You keep track of it better than I do. But, you know, the truth of the matter is you guys, we all work together to make it all work, and we all stand on the shoulders of each other, and I'm glad to see it's worked out.
What is the direction of your company, S. Wallace Edwards & Sons?
Today?
Yes.
To get the packages out the door. Long term, I mean, we want to continue to grow the relationship we have with Heritage Foods USA. Just keep buying the pork that you guys make out in the Midwest and, well, all over the country for that matter now.
And it's been three generations, right? I mean, we've had you on. I think in the end, you have been the person that's been on my show certainly the most. What do you hope to convey to the listeners? I mean, if there were one or two messages more than any other that you would hope to convey to the listeners, what would it be?
Well, you know, the importance of, you know, the conversations we've been having has all been all about the food and the relationship that Edwards has with Heritage Food USA, but more importantly, the direction of the food world. And the fact that you guys have made the transition to become the CNN of the food world makes perfect sense. And, you know, I hope to see that continue with you guys. And certainly the relationship we have with you to continue to grow the product line through the efforts of Heritage Foods.
Well, I feel blessed because I work a lot with Sam, but it's unusual that the person you work with is also a person you've grown to love and really respect. And so, you know, I feel blessed that I get to talk to you a couple times each week, and I am always learned something or there's some sense of humor to it. So thank you, Sam, for sponsoring Heritage early on before anyone believed in us, and then before anyone believed in radio, for just being like, I want to make this work. And, you know, we hope we've done justice to your financial contributions. And, yeah, thank you for everything, Sam.
Yeah, we hope to be in business for another 90 years. We'll see.
180. Well, yes, we will. If anyone could get froze and, you know, revived, like with Walt Disney and all that, I hope it's you.
Well, I appreciate you having the token Southern libertarian on the show.
Well, thank you, Sam. And okay, we'll just go around the round table. We're already over, although we started 5 minutes late. Top memory of the radio. It doesn't have to be the main course. Phil, go. Top memory, anyone who wants to start. Liz, I'm going to start. Liz, my favorite memory was your show. The horror nightmares. Stories with all Joe.
Grease trap.
Oh, man. Yeah. And the shit in the...
Yep. The
thing,
shit in
still,
the dishwasher, yeah.
Demanded you stay open?
Yeah.
This is not Bubby's, by the way.
I was going to say, my favorite memories of the radio station are usually happen about 3:30 in the morning when none of you are here.
Oh!
That is not... That is
now I know what the smell is.
What goes on?
Mike, favorite memory?
Well...
Making out with Judy, making out with the dude from the Rolling Stones.
The short list. Yeah, when you dropped that pot brownie on me a couple weeks ago without telling me that it was a dosed brownie, and that was the day we were doing our kitten adoption show. So by the time it was over, I was, you know, it was like day three of the Monterey Pop Festival. I'm sitting here trying to do a radio show with all these kittens climbing all over me.
Actually, I do have a favorite memory.
Breaking every food safety law.
Well, bringing the cats in was the safety law, not the pop brownie.
I actually brought Drez from who was part of Black Sheep. When that was my favorite memory, when I got to bring Drez because he's like the best.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you remember that. But.
Drez, no.
Yeah, Drez from, you know, Black Sheep.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I brought
that was you.
That was me.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was very honored to do that because he's such a great guy. Which has nothing to do with food, but...
So pop being slipped, being what's it called? Mickey'd a pop brownie. Great memory, Mike.
Just the nightmare show.
Nightmare show. That was so great. People should really listen to it. It was the terror. And Joe's music was right on.
On key.
Katie, besides working with me and all the stuff you've learned
from me. Well,
of
course, I was going to lead with my favorite memory, which was being invited to be a regular member of your program.
Are you going to say bringing Temple Grandin on? Because she might be, history might state that she was the biggest guest we've ever had.
Really? I don't think so.
Why?
I mean, Michael Pollan was a big show. Mm-hmm. I think that, what's his name from the Rolling Stones?
No, I think Temple Grandin's bigger than Bobby Keys. Actually.
No, I really enjoyed having Temple, but I've had lots and lots of great guests. So my favorite memory is just the amount of stuff that I've learned from doing this show for 5 years in one incarnation or another. 5 years in March, my friends. Yeah,
you still look good, Katie.
Thanks, honey. You're not so bad.
Joe, what's your favorite memory? Which main course was your favorite memory of all time? No, just kidding. What's your favorite memory, Joe?
Oh, my favorite memory. Oh, there's so many. I feel like this is going to be really, really sentimental and corny, but I feel like I'm still making my favorite memories. I'm like really excited that I'm over in the office now doing some post-production work and stuff like that.
All right, the show is over.
Okay, I'm going to play myself out with the music.
My guest is waiting, man.
I know, yeah. Your guest is waiting. Next week is show 200, guest April Bloomfield. Thank you to Phil, to Mike, to Liz, to Katie, to Sari, to Sam, to Larry, to Aaron, and to Catherine.
Jack.
And to Jack, of course.
And Patrick, thank you.
And thank you.
Oh, thank you.
My favorite memory is right now.
Oh! Yeah. Oh.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.